Welcome back to Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Dan Smith, a certified financial planner at Family Wealth Management at UBS Financial Services. Our branch is located in Paramus, New Jersey, and I can be reached at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana J. Smith.
Hello, hello, hello.
Our guest today is Denise Catalanato. Denise is a community sales director at Brightview Senior Living. She's not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and her views are her own.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear all about senior living. It does sound really fun.
It can be.
Well, so how does somebody plan for senior living? How does somebody plan for the golden years of their life?
When I meet with someone, when we discuss this topic, I generally break it down to three very specific categories. The one is what's called aging in place.
Okay. And that means staying home.
Staying home, living the rest of their days at their residence, which is where they want to be. The second is cohabitating with family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving in.
Moving in with a sister or brother, a son, a daughter. And the third is, we'll talk about a little later in the episode today, which is independent living, short for independent living and a kind of continuing care. Mm-hmm. So independent, maybe going to assisted, maybe to, if there's a memory care unit, maybe there's nursing home care if need be. Those are really the three options.
Okay.
So I want to just tell you one anecdote, which you're very familiar with, actually.
Okay.
So in the early 2000s, your grandma and grandpa were living independently in central New Jersey. Grandma had a knee replacement.
I remember, yeah.
And you will probably also remember that I was your dad.
Yes.
And I had you and Janine and Ben. Mm-hmm. And mom's a physical therapist.
Yes.
And she went down to take care of her mom.
Yeah, I remember. It was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a big commitment.
And that was her demographic. Mom was a physical therapist for the geriatric community. So she knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing. But even if she wasn't, she would have been there.
Right. Yeah.
That got my wheels turning. We needed to expand our house. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if I do that, how do I solve the other problem, which is losing mom down to work with her parents for extended period of time when I was working and I was trying to take care of you guys. And there just wasn't enough hours in a day. So what we did, mom and I, is that we developed a plan to add on to our house that would benefit our family, but could accommodate grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. And that came to fruition in 2007.
Yes, I remember.
And I will tell you, it didn't come without some
growing pains.
That's a great way to put it, on both sides, truthfully.
Huge change. I mean, any change, especially because they were coming from, it was independent living.
Yes.
They had, you know, a friend group, community. They had a clubhouse. They did all kinds of fun things. They were coming into another really fun and loving situation, but not without its challenges.
Correct. So bottom line, we are now 17 years later.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. The biggest negative is that grandpa has left us.
Yeah.
Grandma will be 96 and she is thriving in her environment.
Yeah.
And we're happy we made that decision. That was the best decision for our family.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's the best decision for the families out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But so many factors.
But generally it comes down to one of those three, either moving in with someone or moving somewhere or staying where they are.
Right. All of that has cost.
All that has cost. As I explore in the episode, I always rank it in order of safety. What's the safest option?
Mm-hmm.
What's the happiest option? And then once I have the answer to those two things, then through planning, I help families create and get comfortable with the money piece.
Yeah. And so what is kind of one way that you reallocate funds for this?
What I try to articulate to people is that as they age, there's really three sections of aging. And I put them in basically 10 to 15 year periods. There's the go-go stage, which is early retirement. There's the slow-go stage when you start slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's kind of the no-go, which is
staying in place.
Very little to do.
Yeah.
So I always tell them that historically speaking, you spend more in the first third than you do in the second third than you do in the last third.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From an affordability standpoint, I have the experience through the planning process of knowing how it's not spending more, it's spending in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's where the affordability factor comes in. You know, a 65 vibrant couple is not going to see living in, say, a Brightview or a similar setting. They can't look out that far because it's difficult for them to comprehend.
Right.
So that's why talking about it early and often is important.
Mm-hmm. Having a plan.
Yeah. It, trust me when I tell you it takes, you know, upwards of 10 years of talking about it and exploring all the options and, you know, getting comfortable. And lastly is the decision. You don't want to make a crisis decision. You want to make a plan decision.
Yeah.
And that's why we do the planning.
Trust the plan.
Trust the plan.
All right. Well, let's welcome our guest, Denise Catalanato.
Denise Catalanato. I think the best way to get it going today is the simple question. Denise, what do you do?
I am the community sales director here at Brightview Lake Japan. What that means is I am meeting with individuals and families to educate them on what senior living and assisted living is all about. So not only meeting here in the community, but outside of the community as well. So it's meeting with the likes of yourself, Dan, as well, to talk about, you know, what we have to offer to our aging population, but also to, you know, rehabs and hospitals, doctors, and just professionals.
How often are you dealing with financial advisors?
Probably daily. You know, not meeting with them daily, but in this industry, somehow you are connecting daily through different people.
How long have you been in this industry and what makes you passionate about it?
Well, I've been with Brightview Lake Japan for 5.5 years since we opened. So we opened in October 2018. And I started then, a month before we opened. I've been in the industry for about 10 years. I was with a home care agency doing marketing for about 4.5 years prior to coming on here.
Wow, interesting.
You know, what makes me passionate about it is, you know, I'm like many others. I'm in the same situation as others are, where we're kind of like that sandwich generation, our children and our parents, you know, with my family and my in-laws and my mom as well, navigating it. And I just want to be able to help others go through what I have went through and what I am going through and what many others are going through. But what I'm passionate about is just our adult population, making them realize that there's so much more living they can do and happiness and socialization and engagement that they can have outside of their home.
Yeah.
And making a new home.
The golden years.
Correct.
So I know your industry is evolving daily. What are the changes over the last 5.5 years since you started there?
We had a big pandemic in there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like an ebb and a flow, right? Because that 2 years or more, 2+ years, things changed drastically within the senior living community and what you could and couldn't do. And, you know, we go by guidelines by, you know, the Department of Health and the CDC because of our assisted living and our memory care. What I will say is, you know, during that time, we were still able to keep our residents engaged, happy, socializing, even though it might have been at a distance, and kept them cognitively engaged too, so that they could keep flourishing.
Yeah.
But then coming out of the pandemic back to now, seeing just everything just opened up where, you know, you're coming and you're going, you have your families, we have our vendors back in where they might not have been here before. You know, it's flourishing is what I should say here at this community. Yeah.
That's great. When I speak to my client base about considering a place like Brightview, usually there's three things that come up. One is, how do I transition my current healthcare arrangement to where I'm going? Number two is, what are the options in the living space that I would be comfortable with? I know it's independent, it's assisted, it's maybe memory care. So what are the living options at Brightview? And number three is money. So maybe just taking those one by one, let's just say you have a person that wants to come to Brightview that is working with a local hospital and doctors that they've worked with a long time. Do they maintain that or do they transition maybe to some services at Brightview, or maybe it's a combination?
Sure. It can be a combination for sure, or it could be one of the other. So many of our residents are somewhat local. Some may not be, and they're moving, you know, from out of state to our community. But for us, you know, we do provide transportation as well. If someone's not driving anymore, to doctors a couple days a week. So if they're within a 10-mile radius, you know, we can take them back and forth to their doctors so they can still stay in touch with those doctors that they've been going to for years. We do have doctors visit the community. We do have a geriatric physician. We have a podiatrist. We have a geriatric psychiatrist that visit the community. We have companies that come in with ultrasounds and x-rays, blood work, all of that. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, all can take place here in the community. It's under the guidelines of their medical insurance. So usually Medicare is the primary. They might have a secondary. So they can have in-house or they can still continue to go to their doctors.
Great. So the second piece, what are the various living arrangements at Brightview?
So at this location, and you know, some other Brightviews might not have the independent living piece. We do have independent living here, which is 70 apartments, and then our assisted living is 47, our memory care is 27. There are three separate neighborhoods under one roof. What I mean by neighborhoods is they have their own dining and their own activity area, but programming does cross over with our independent living or assisted living. But independent living, you still are able to cook if you'd like to cook, though we do include a couple of meals a day for independent living. They have a full kitchen, they have a full washer dryer. You know, it is truly an independent independent living scenario. Our assisted living, you don't have the cooking option in your apartment. You have a kitchenette. So you do have a, you know, a microwave and a mini fridge and all of that. But you're getting your three full meals for assisted living. You're getting your laundry done for you. You're getting your housekeeping every week.
Get housekeeping. Sounds lovely.
Yeah. And you have the oversight of our care team in assisted living and memory care. And that's the biggest differentiator in the community, is that independent living does not have access to the nurses or the caregivers. They are exclusively for assisted living and for memory care. But it is a continuum where you move into independent living, but you can stay in your home until end of life. We do have the enhanced licensure here where, you know, you would just need to move from independent living to an assisted living apartment or memory care apartment, but you would still be in your same home. You'd have the same residents, same caregivers, associates. So
lovely.
That's a nice piece.
So a subset to that would be many of my clients who are in this age group have pets, and many of them have either companions or people that come to look in on them. Is that still a possibility at Brightview?
Absolutely. So we are a pet-friendly community, up to 25 pounds. So we're not going to weigh the pet. We're not going to weigh it, but
if we eyeball.
If it looks like it's about 50, then we might have to call you on. So there is a little extra fee a month to have a pet here, but as long as you can still care for your pet. Sure. And when I say pets, it's mostly, and it's dogs or cats, but it's mostly dogs. And we do have service dogs, our therapy dogs that come in too with different vendors as well.
So the usually the most uncomfortable thing to talk about is the money piece. Generally, what I do when I'm working with a family is I'll do a financial plan for them and I'll redirect their expenses that they're currently paying where they're currently living to transition to a place like Brightview. How much of a factor is the money when you're talking to families?
So it is huge. I mean, yeah, you know, finance and budget are a huge concern for almost everyone, right? And many do lead with it. They lead with, I just want to know what the cost is. I try to say, we will get to that. We will get to the finance part. But I mostly ask, what does that look like for you? What does your budget look like? So I can get an idea. When that generation, you know, when they hear what the cost is for independent living or assisted living, they're strictly thinking that's just rent, right? They're not thinking about the all-inclusive. And they kind of get floored if you're just throwing out a dollar amount to them without really capturing everything that is included. We have a cost comparison guide, which pretty much they can fill out and say, okay, this is what I'm spending right now. I'm living in my own home. This is what I'm spending on taxes, the upkeep at the home, insurance, meals. At the very end, when you're showing what we include and all the utilities and everything else that we include, it's not that drastic of a difference.
Right.
There is a difference. And I'll say that the socializing and the programming that we include, especially with the 2 years we've had with the pandemic and seeing adults that were secluded at home and didn't have that interaction, what it did to them.
Yeah.
I say I can't put a price tag on having that programming and that socializing and something always to do and stay engaged.
You hear studies all the time about there's a loneliness epidemic now, especially in the older generation, and people are living longer. And the health costs that come with loneliness and lack of socialization could end up outweighing what an assisted living or an independent living could offer.
That's absolutely true. It's also guiding them, and this is what you, Dan, as well, is to know that you can afford, you know, you might not think you can, but sitting down with a financial planner to say, okay, yeah, between Social Security, between maybe your pension, you have those investments, maybe the sale of your home. I'm not even talking about long-term care insurance, but things like that can help supplement that income that you already have coming in, where you truly can afford to live in a beautiful community.
A lot of my clients do have long-term care insurance, thankfully. How proactive is Brightview with that carrier as far as meeting the services that are being rendered so there's a reimbursement policy? How connective are those two things?
We're connected as much as we need to be to make sure that the resident is getting their claim processed and getting reimbursed. It is up to the resident and family, though, to actually process the claim initially. We will provide what's needed on our behalf. And even every month, we do have to send in to that carrier the information that's needed to show that that resident was here getting the care that is essential to have that claim continue. What I will share is that, and this is really your expertise, but I've had access to long-term care, different policies myself with my mom having one. It's really knowing that policy to know that, hey, just because I'm moving to an assisted living community doesn't automatically say that, yeah, my claim is going to take off and it's going to be accepted.
Yeah, one of my Danisms is the big print giveth and the small print taketh. So let's know what we have, because that leads to frustration. I know firsthand that the folks at Brightview, including yourself, are very congenial speaking to the carriers and offering information with the families. Yeah, and Alana's right. It is a huge emotional step. I think that's 90% of the decision, truthfully. So I always say to clients, you know, I work on a one-day contract. I have to earn your business every day. So are there trial periods they can come into BrightView? For example, say, listen, maybe I come in for 3 months. I see it gives me a good time period to assess if this is really right for me.
Yeah, there is. So because we do have the three separate neighborhoods, so to speak, our licensed part of the building, assisted living and memory care, there is what we call a respite. You can do a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 60 for a trial.
Okay.
And then if you decided to stay, you would commit to doing a permanent lease. Whereas independent living, it's a minimum of 2 months, a maximum of 3. What I will say is that, you know, especially with independent living, it takes a good 3 months for someone to really determine if this is the right thing for them. So a lot of the times just saying, I want to do a 30-day trial or even 2 months, I don't feel is enough. It's a total change in life, in your schedule and the way of doing things to really get a full feel for it. But we do have the option.
I deal with men, I deal with women, and sometimes couples when it comes to this issue. And is there a difference between men and women as they consider this decision?
Is one more stubborn than the other?
Yeah. I have to say it really depends on the actual man or
person.
It's tough to generalize, I know.
I tend to think that a little easier for men, I will say.
Really?
How about them apples, Alana?
Interesting. Interesting. I know, like, you know, there's with families, you're talking about the sandwich generation. It's like sometimes like an offense, right? When you're trying to usher someone into like the next logical phase of their life. I'm sure you see that all the time. And I can see how, you know, you're a mother, you raised all these children to take care of you at the end of your life, and then they're going to put you somewhere can be hard.
Yes. Well, and that piece too, put you somewhere in that generation, if they haven't been into a senior living community the way they are now for the past, you know, 20 years or more, they think nursing home and they think that skilled nursing facility, and that's what's in their mind. So that's why they're fearful to even come and look. It's like, oh, no, I'm not even going to look. And that's where, you know, it's important for families to start having a conversation even before it needs to start, right? Starting as soon as you can. And it helps destigmatize the whole idea, you know, and you want to discuss with your parents or your grandparents what they envision for their future, what's important to them. You know, is it the socializing? Is it meals? Is it transportation? Maybe if they've stopped driving, is it not doing everything that has to be done with a home, you know, and having a huge house? What I see, and a lot of times more with the females, it's not wanting to leave that home and worrying about what they're going to do with everything that's in the home. You can't take everything with you. It is an apartment you'd be moving to, but it's getting them over that hump to say, you know, how many rooms are you really using right now? And there are professionals out there that can help navigate the downsizing part. That's where I find the females are a lot more attached.
Yes, our stuff, we nest.
Yeah, that's true.
What is the ratio of men to women approximately?
I'd probably say at this location in my independent living, it's probably 60% women, 40% men.
Okay.
Over the years, we've had many couples that have moved in and one of them or spouse might have passed. So, you know, that's where dynamics change.
Yeah. Do you ever find people falling for each other? I know it's a silly
question. There are some love connections.
I love it. Yes. That's great.
Some of it is that. Some of it's more just like companionship. You
right,
gravitate
right.
Like anywhere else, you're going to gravitate to people that have common interests. But I will say my residents make this community. I mean, it's just they're a great group. We are close to the town of Pearl River, which is the town of friendly people. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to come and write a rom-com about your experience at the senior living.
It's fine.
What's the youngest person that's moved in since you've been there?
I think she was 69. It was someone from my memory care neighborhood.
Gotcha.
Time.
Yeah. And your oldest current resident is how old?
My oldest current is 99. She will be 100 in October.
Wow.
So we'll have to have a big celebration. But we have had people over 100. We had someone that had passed away about 7 months ago that I think she was about 102, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When someone does arrive, let's just say they come into independent living, is there a welcoming procedure when they come in? What can they expect?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, one thing we do have here is we have a resident council. So that's, you know, separate from us, that the resident have a president, they have a dining person and a treasurer, and that's their resident group. But we also have a group of residents that are ambassadors here. And the ambassadors, we kind of match them up to a new resident coming in. And they will take on the role of having meals with them, showing them the lay of the land, and just, you know, an introductory group. And it will be the whole group. It's, you know, it's one or two people that you kind of assign based on, you know, likes and dislikes. And we have a resident life story that all of our incoming residents fill out for us so that we can have a whole idea of their likes and dislikes are and what their dynamics in life have been like so that we can kind of pair them up and we can help flourish them as best we can.
I love that.
I know a lot of people are very devoted to their faith. And when it comes to all the different faiths that are out there, how does that incorporate into the community?
It's incorporated through our Vibrant Living Director. So she's in charge of all the programming here at the community, all the different faiths, the special holidays we do incorporate here. So for special foods for different holidays, we do have virtual for different masses or different gatherings. We zoom in here. We do have transportation to some churches and synagogues, sure, yeah, things like that in the area. Eucharist minister comes in. So we try to, you know, all the faiths that we do have in the community, we do make sure that we acknowledge and do the special ceremonies and foods associated with.
Yeah,
that.
Lovely.
One of the realities of life is that we do pass. And if someone does pass, how is that handled?
So it's handled with the wishes of the family, first and foremost, right?
Okay.
So it's the families that we have to say, you know, is it okay for us to be able to convey to our residents that this has happened? And we do put together a nice bio. Our residents and our associates do attend the services. We try to do a little something for that resident with the other residents as well.
One of the trends I've noticed is that dietary needs have been changing quite a bit for this age group, for all age groups. How flexible is the dining for someone who's, let's just say, gluten-free or vegetarian or pescatarian, you know, whatever.
Wow, nice.
So yeah. You like that one, didn't you?
I do.
Yeah.
It's an SAT prep word, actually. So
Yeah, things are ever changing for sure. And our dining director, he's managing that quite well. And we are able to manage diets here, you know, not only on the assisted living side, with aside from the categories you mentioned, with, you know, maybe soft diets or chopped diets or things like that. But yes, vegetarian, we have one of our vegetarians was even in the kitchen one time showing some of her recipes and they're cooking
that
with them so that they could, you know, try to manage that. As far as gluten-free, yeah, that's becoming more prominent. I might have a couple of people, not really predominant here now, but gluten-free, you know, we could, it's a little trickier. It's not like every option we're going to have a gluten-free option, but we would definitely have gluten-free things that we could have on the menu if we have someone that is gluten-free. We always have fish on the menu. There's always a catch of the day. There's always a fish option on the menu.
A catch of the day. Wow.
There you go. I visited a resident of yours recently, and I was an onlooker for an accordion player. This is like circa Lawrence Welk. It was pretty cool.
That's amazing. I love that.
What is one of the most welcomed activities at Brightview in the neighborhood? I'm starting to use your terminology now. What is well received as far as maybe a day trip somewhere?
So as far as programming in the community, I'd say anything music related, people gravitate to music, and we are a very musical community. So
Yay. That
accordion was just not like a one-off, you know. Actually, for our St. Patrick's, we had three young men here from the Iona Pipe Band. And so there were bagpipes and accordions and drums.
Oh my gosh.
But we have piano players, we have violin players, singers, musicians. That's real big. But all of our programming here, whether it's exercise, whether it's lectures, jewelry making, we have a number of different clubs here, you know, poker club, bridge club. Our Yak and Yarn Club makes, you know, really nice blankets for people that might be out. There's usually something going on at all times. And happy hour is very well attended, I do have to say.
I'm so thrilled to know that.
As far as outdoor trips, it's really what our residents want to see on the calendar. So in the fall, they wanted to take a boat ride. So there were enough residents to do that. We made that happen. So we have a bus and we have a car, and we went out of Peekskill onto the Hudson, but they enjoyed it. They had a great day out. Others wanted to go to a winery. We went up to the winery in Warwick. They might want to go to gamble a bit. So over in Yonkers, we've taken trips over there to the casino.
How do you plan for that?
that's a good question.
Well, they have to make sure they have money.
Right.
But yeah, it's our Vibrant Living Director and, you know, our bus driver taking them over. And it's a sign up, so we can fit about 12 people on our bus. So it's a matter of, you know, first come, first serve with signing up for that.
So I always call these aha moments for me. What's been one of the most recent aha moments you've had with someone you've worked with? Maybe it was a very long onboarding process. Maybe there was a big hurdle, something that you went home and you said, boy, Denise, that was really, really cool what happened today. Something that made you feel good.
I guess for me, just the other day, and only because this is so fresh in my mind, our St. Patrick's event where we had the three young men, and we had a big showing here. We, you know, we had some family, you know, we allowed to have a couple of family members come. So I had about 100 people here. But one of my residents is blind. And the next day said to me, and we had, you know, we had great food and set a bed and a green chocolate fountain, you know, a lot of stuff going on here. But the next day I came in to work and she's coming down the hallway and I said, good morning. She said, oh, is that you, Denise? She said, I just have to tell you that event was wonderful. And she said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. We all had a great time. And she said, it just made me feel so good.
That was perfectly said. You know, I have a process I go through with clients. And when I'm talking to families or for potential residents of yours directly, I start with safety. I transition that into happiness. Then I transition that into the money part. As far as safety at Brightview, what are things that you do to make sure it's a safe environment?
Well, one of the things is the way the community is built. So it's with seniors in mind. So it's not only, you know, the wider doorways and grab bars and things to hold on to, walking down the hallway if you need to, or shelving. It's also, you know, our assisted living. Obviously, they're wearing pendants so that they can press that so they can have assistance whenever needed. Even in independent living, it's in all common spaces. We do have emergency buttons as well. You know, you can press emergency buttons, but it's just always having people around too, right? At home, you don't have anyone. Here, you always have associates around the clock here. You always have someone at the front desk 24 hours a day. In my independent living, there are emergency buttons in the apartment. There's a check-in button for the morning for independent, just so we know, okay, they've checked in. They're we don't see them at breakfast and they haven't checked in. We're going to call and just see, is everything okay? If they don't answer, we're going to go down. Just see what's going on. Likewise, they do have an emergency button in their apartment that will ring to the concierge. So the concierge will go and respond to that. If they need to call 911, they will. They'll wait with the resident. They'll take their defibrillator with them that they're trained on and things like that. But they're not clinical. It's not a nurse or a caregiver, but we do have that oversight. So for families that are worried, you know, okay, my parent is at home by themselves and I just don't know, like my heart's in my mouth because I don't know if they're gonna fall during the night or something like that. You have the oversight here in this community of always knowing that there's someone here to respond.
Super. And, you know, the happy part, you've done a really good job of explaining that.
Definitely. You know, I think I'd be happy there.
Well, we call it the pick, possibilities, independence, and choice here, right? So you can be as involved as you'd like to be and as independent as you want to be. For our independent living, you know, they're coming and going, they're signing up for things. If they want to stay in their apartment and watch a Netflix series all day, they can. We're not going to be hounding them to come and do things. But there is always something here to engage in, and you are eating your meals with others. So you have that socialization. In assisted living, you do have a customized care plan so that we know, okay, this is what we're helping this individual with on a daily basis. And aside from that, they're as independent as they want to be. If they need to press that button because they need additional assistance aside from what their care plan says, then so be it. But they still have their independence and choice as well.
Yeah,
that's great.
I had one more question. You mentioned your mom is in one of your communities.
My mom lives with me here at Brightview. Yes. And what I will say is that, you know, one thing I want to share is that prepare so that your loved one has the choice of where they want to go and can make the choice and not be in a crisis mode. Myself and my siblings were more in a crisis mode where, wow, we need to find something for mom soon. And my initial reaction was, okay, not where I were.
Right, sure.
But at the end of the day, I know too much about everything around. And I know that this was where she had to be, getting the best care and the other residents here and the other associates. You know, she's doing wonderful. She loves it.
Yeah.
I love having her here. I'd be able to see her, you know, every day. I live nearby, so she's with me even when she's not here. She's coming home with me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I also have my dad's cousin living here as well.
Wow.
I like to say if I'm going to bring my family, I have a lot of confidence in everything that we can provide.
Yeah, that says everything.
It does. We really appreciate your time today. It was awesome. And Alana, that's Denise Catalanato.
Yeah. Thank you, Denise.
Great job on that name, Dan. I'm very impressed.
It rolls off the tongue, I tell you.
It was very nice meeting both of you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
Talk soon.
Okay. Bye, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I found that super fascinating just because of the stigma, like she said, around nursing homes versus assisted living communities or thriving in your older age.
Yeah, and I love how you have some people they can relate to.
And that's what you're paying for. That's what you're planning for.
It is. It is. And a great endorsement is that her mom and her uncle are there.
Yeah.
And
that says everything.
That was great.
And she said you have to plan, so I guess you and I have some talking to do.
Have you ever asked me what my plan is?
No.
Well, we'll get to that.
Maybe we don't do that on air. Mom has shared with me what she wants her plan to be, so I wonder if it's the same.
Interesting.
All right, well, to be continued.
Yes.
Love you.
Love you. Yeah.
podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.